Good afternoon, and welcome to Open Air with Sherry Huber. Good afternoon, Sherry.
Good afternoon, Bob.
I have some announcements here to start us off with.
All right.
If you can breathe, you can do yoga. Twice a month, Yoga for Sangha sends out yoga videos grounded in the themes of awareness practice and especially designed for Sangha. The videos include movement options to accommodate all levels. A new quarter of this popular offering begins October 15th. All proceeds will be donated to the Africa Vulnerable Children Project. Reflective Listening Buddies offers awareness practitioners unique support. It requires participants to show up for themselves and another every week for 30 minutes. Register now for the quarter beginning October 15th. Do you find that your efforts to keep a commitment are sabotaged by conditioning? Our Keeping Commitments Buddy program, also starting October 15th, pairs participants with a buddy for accountability and support. For these and other practice opportunities, visit livingcompassion.org. And a few reminders. If you'd like to get in the queue to talk with Sherry tonight, press star 6 and then 1, and keep the conversation to about 5 minutes, please, and on one topic. All right, Sherry, I think it gets us, has us ready for tonight.
All right.
Bring on our first caller. First caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Yeah, hi, this is Helga in Charleston.
Hey, Helga.
Hi. So, I'm not sure where to start. You know, I was on the morning show a week ago, whatever, and you know, I thought I'd just call in because it's a really big clump of something that I'm dealing with. You know, I feel like really this last year. Starting with the visit of my brother that went very badly, I just feel like I've been dealing with a lot of darkness. A lot of darkness that has come my way, or that I'm projecting, you know, and that I'm always confused about that, you know. I mean, from delusion to deception, to lying, to, you know, you're just your garden variety, selfishness, self-centeredness. I mean, you know, and all these from people that have been, that have played a big and important part in my life. You know, and you know a little bit about the whole situation with my employer, so I don't want to get into any of that, but just, you know, big
I don't content.
Big content, huge disappointments, disillusionment. And, you know, and about a week ago, I was out with some friends, and this one person, you know, he just totally misread like a situation that we were in at a table with some friends, and I just blew a gasket. I swear to God, I could have chopped his head off.
Wow.
And I felt like there was, you know, there, and I can feel that, you know, there is such a rage about all of that, you know, and I guess I don't know what to make of it. I mean, there's like that part, you know, I read this quote this morning. You know, it's like, you know, just really express it all and then be silent, you know, and I certainly express that. But there's also oftentimes, you know, that feeling where, you know, even if I say something, there won't be any response. It won't be responded to. So I have to kind of put an act on half of the time, you know, especially in that situation with my employer. And I feel like I just want to drag it all down. I just want to confront people with what they're doing.
Uh-huh.
I want
now,
that.
Okay. Like, okay. Yeah. Now, right there, Helga, let me ask you this, because I do know a little bit about it. And you're not confronting your employer with what they have done to you?
No. Well, I got that whole situation, I got what I wanted financially, but the betrayal of it all and him pretending to be the good right person and being incensed that I could have thought that he was trying to shortchange me, which he did, you know, and that kind of, it just kind of boggles my mind.
Yeah.
You know, this incapacity to just look at yourself and say, yes, this is what I've done. It's wrong. I'm sorry. You know?
Yeah.
And it's just that whole thing, I feel like I'm running into these walls. And I realized, you know, before the call, you know, I've just been you know, and you know, I do, you know, pretty much, you know, when these waves have come of loss, of devastation, you know, I really feel like I can go through it all and everything. But I just feel tired. You know,
yeah.
That's what I feel most. I feel so tired. You know, my desire is for people to be, you know, not so selfish, not so unkind, not so self-centered, you know, and delusional about everything. So that's where I am with it. I'm tired.
Yeah. Well, may I offer you a little perspective?
Yes, please.
Okay. 'Cause here's what I would say about that. What you're getting to see in a really stark way is how you don't want to be.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what you've noticed is you have absolutely no control about anybody else. None. And what you have seen is our capacity as human beings to be completely self-absorbed, to be delusional, to be dishonest, to be self-serving in a way that doesn't care a fig about anybody else. Now, Helga, you, I mean, we can't go very far in a day before we run into tremendous evidence that that is true. Right? I mean, it's just everywhere, all over the world.
Yeah.
That's what the news is, right?
That's all on top of it.
That's right.
Yeah.
And so we do not. One of my favorite Maharaj quotes, you know, we would all be happier if we weren't so selfish, which is, you know, a kind of a blanket statement, which we can all relate to, right? In whatever level ours is, you know, I think I'm at a 10, and I think a lot of other people are at a 99, okay, percentage selfish, all right? So that's my selfish view of it, right? Who knows how they feel about it? But regardless, there is nothing we can do about any of it. Nothing. And our choice is to know, I don't want to be that way. And to put all of our energy into, I don't care what other people are doing. I care about whether or not I am in integrity. That's all I can do. Because if we don't get to that perspective, as you noticed, it will break your heart.
Well, it has. You know, I feel like it has. It really...
Yeah.
It has broken my heart.
It is. And it's a continuing process. Right? It's not like it happened once and then because what I project has happened to you in this is that you're now so critically or so completely aware of this as a process that every time you encounter it anywhere to any degree, it takes you to that same place. It's a trauma, right? And then everything triggers the return to that trauma of people being so selfish and cruel. So the poor guy does or says whatever he does at dinner, and you kill him at the dinner table, right? Now people would wonder, well, what happened to her, right? Because they don't realize that it just takes you right back to the heart of that horrible disappointment, disillusionment.
Yeah, you know, and I think, you know, I mean, what I see, what I do, I mean, right now, what I've been doing, I've just really stepped back, you know, from social interactions, you know, from, I mean, you know, I engage with people, but I just, you know, I feel like I've just really put the, I just closed the door right now, because I just feel like I don't want to deal with that. I don't want to deal with people that have just no self-awareness whatsoever and just say whatever comes into their heads. And, you know, I feel kind of isolated.
Well,
you know, I seriously thought, you know, moving up to Squim. Just so I can be
desperate enough to
dig in the garden there and not talk to anybody.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was getting ready to say, as a matter of fact. That's why in this practice we have the privileged environment. That is exactly why. Over the decades, I have watched spiritual organization. I mean, everybody else in the world, yes. But spiritual groups absolutely fall apart because they don't have the privileged environment. And personalities come in, and egocentric karmic conditioning, self-hate takes over, and you have this little tiny version of the larger society, and people get disappointed and disillusioned, and, right? And so, I mean, I don't think it's an unhelpful thing to realize that just simply being in social relationships with people who do not have conscious, compassionate awareness as their highest priority is going to lead, I don't know where I started that sentence, Helga, but it's going to lead exactly to this. It can't go anywhere else. It explains 99.9% of all relationships. Egocentricity comes in, takes over, and destroys it. Yes, it does. Yeah. And so to get that, just to realize that, is it disappointing? Yeah. Do we wish we were different? Yeah, absolutely. Wouldn't it be great if humanity was conscious, was kind, was aware? Wouldn't that be fabulous? We wouldn't be in the boat we're in right
now.
That's
my desire.
Yes, but it's not realistic.
Yeah.
It's not going to happen. Mm. I mean, it's wonderful that we all hope that it does. But it's not going to. It never has. And the odds are really good it never will. Because, Helga, most people are not interested.
Yeah.
Most people are interested in getting what they want in any given moment. And we can know that because we're that way. Now, what we do with awareness practice is learn not to make that our highest priority, to make it something that we're working to go beyond. Not to indulge and be successful at. Okay? But it's awful, and it's awful that it takes this kind of thing to have us realize what's going on. But it is what it takes. If this hadn't happened to you, you would have finished this lifetime out with moderate upset over how people are, but still in the place of, well, but most people are basically whatever, and most people are, if you can get past egocentric karmic conditioning self-hate. And that's our work, not to get them past it. right? My job is not to get anybody else past it. My job is to get me past it.
Hmm.
And if all that energy that you have going about this turns into fueling you to be the person you want everybody else to be, it's a gift.
Yeah.
It's what I've always said about my father. He was one of the great gifts of my life because he showed me absolutely how I never wanted to be.
Hmm. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
And it's painful.
Very.
Yeah. It is.
Yeah.
And so to take care of the person who is experiencing that kind of pain, you're the only one who can be there for her. You can't expect anybody else to be. You know that.
Mm-hmm.
No one else is going to understand. Everybody wants to be understood. That's why the, you know, the St. Francis prayer is so powerful.
Mm.
You know, make me somebody who wants to understand, not somebody who wants to be understood.
Mm. Thank you.
You are so welcome. Stay in touch. Don't because as you said, you know, if we don't have the support, the encouragement, the whatever it is to get through something like this, it's designed to kill you.
Mm.
That's what ego wants to have happen with this, to just suck every bit of life force out of you, to turn you into a bitter, angry,
yeah,
resentful, hateful person. That's what it's going for. Don't let it.
Mm.
Let this turn you into the most compassionate, loving human being that you have ever encountered. And Helga, you chuckle. I hear you chuckling. The thing about it is, you actually know what that is. You have intimate knowledge of what that means. If you didn't, all of this wouldn't be so upsetting to you. You know our potential as human beings. That's what is disappointed. So you know it. It's your opportunity to live it.
Yeah, you know, I just think, you know, I chuckled because, as I said, it's like that there's a couple of times where I felt like I just got to some limit and I just, you know, it's like this suddenly this huge thunderstorm. You know, it's like I read that peace quote today and I could relate so much to it. You know, it's like this energy comes out, you know, and it doesn't feel very compassionate, but maybe that's part of it too, you know.
Yes. My teacher used to say that rage and compassion are the two most closely related emotions.
Yeah, I mean, I know where it comes from.
Yes, yeah, it's disappointed love. So we touch into the love and let go of the disappointment.
Mm. Mm.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Let's talk again before long, okay?
Okay.
All right.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.
Thank you, Helga. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on our good news folks.
Oh, okay. Good. Thank you, Bob.
Sure. And Jen, we're ready to turn it over to you. Let me try that again. Jen, are you there?
I am. Perfect. Thanks, Bob. I'm pleased to be joined this afternoon by Laura, who is here to speak with us about her experience of staying plugged into practice. Welcome, Laura.
Hey, Jen. Good to be here. Thanks for the invitation.
Absolutely. So, yeah, tell us what you're saying about that process.
You know, as I was looking at this, what I was first noticing is that difference between kind of allowing, kind of sitting in that question of what's here to see and just allowing that kind of conversation with life versus that pull from ego to come up with something to talk about. Mm-hmm. And I just decided to not, because I couldn't seem to not get the pull, and I just decided to kind of trust, like, you know, what we would talk about today, which to me was a great example of what staying close to practice has allowed me to have access to over, you know, decades of exposure to all that practice offers.
So that process of staying plugged in, of staying with practice, it sounds like really allows you to build that trust that I don't need to do that. I don't need to look to conditioned mind, you know, when there's something, you know, I mean, I was going to say when the stakes get high, which could sound funny, right? I mean, are the stakes really that high being on Good News Update? But yeah, I mean, that kind of is how it gets framed, right? I mean, what are you going to talk about? And it's got to be good and all those things. And so that staying plugged into practice into, you know, over the years has really allowed you to be in that place where, yeah, you can just relax and know that something will drop in.
Yes. And it's, as I kind of sat with like the topic, you know, I happened to be in a moment where conditioning would say, you've got nothing to talk about, you know, this, everything's really awful, you're in the dark room, blah, 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 blah. And I just remember kind of it just like, well, let's not have that conversation. And then I don't know if it was a day later or whatever, but at some point this topic just dropped in because I had been reflecting on, you know, my first retreat was of There's Nothing Wrong With You was in 2006. And I was first read the book in 2002. And then I was looking at, and not just now, but I've often looked at, you know, what my contact way back then was maybe once a year, reading the books. I don't even think I knew about the new, like there was so much that I did not even know about with practice. That now I look back and go, how did it take me so long to, you know, it just was where I was at in my life, stage of development, young kid, you know, all this stuff. And and none of that was a problem. What I can trust was there was just that spark you hear referenced in practice and quotes and with the sages of that, this, you know, that seeking, that interest. There was something that spoke to me. And that once that was opened up, one of the things that I have been in the depths of despair, you know, I've really related to the previous caller and like really joyous highs. And it's in the depths of despair of never being willing to be talked out of quitting.
Yeah. It's so huge, Laura. I mean, there's so many things that are dropping in as you're talking. I mean, one of the ones is, I think I quoted this on Good News Update just recently. It sounds familiar, but the t-shirt, it does not matter how slowly you go as long as you do not stop.
Yes.
And that you, as long as you do not shop. That was a Freudian slip.
That too.
As long as you do not stop. And that is such the place. And I, you know, when you wrote this topic, the staying plugged in, I just really saw, there's so many times I've heard the guide say something along those lines of, you know, people talk about the standards in the head or, oh God, I wandered off. And, you know, for some period of time or all the things that go on for people around that process. And the guide saying in some form or another, it doesn't matter
Yeah.
As long as we keep going.
Yeah.
As long as we keep going. You just show up, you know, and then it's why better ideas are such a thing in practice, not having better ideas. Because one of, you know, the voices layer on all these standards and you have to this and you have to that. But I love your description of you just kept coming and you just, you know, at that point it was once a year. And now it's way more often than once a year that you're plugged into practice, right?
Yeah.
But you just kept showing up and the process happens. We get transformed.
That phrase right there is, I mean, I feel like we were in synchronicity right there, is because what I was saying, let's see, how do I say this without giving, so the I won't give anything away, I promise. The focus of, you know, that first retreat, you know, the content that I picked, like I look back and I'm like, we know it's not what at all, but it was such a, I mean, I don't mean silly in a critical way, but like if I look at what has evolved over my time in practice of what I've looked at, the depths of like quote unquote, I know that it's such a buzzword these days, but the trauma that, you know, all of that stuff, it was such like a, that was all I could reveal. That was as vulnerable as I could get, is to let you see this like practice around my desk was messy. Mm-hmm. Right. And yet the depth of that workshop was there, even though that was the content I brought.
Absolutely.
Because that's the structure of practice, is that the structure allows the process to be revealed at whatever depth is available to me in that moment, which is perfectly respectful of the process of where I'm at.
Yeah, exactly. Practice meets us where we are.
Oh, you know, you said it more simply. That, yeah. Mm-hmm.
You're the other thing that reminds me of, Laura, that as you're talking, is what a beautiful and brilliant topic it is to talk about. It's really hard. There are times when I'm in the dark room, and what it looks like to practice with them, to practice through that, to just keep showing up, and staying plugged in regardless of, I mean, we can almost say regardless of what I'm being told is happening, right? Yeah.
Yeah. You know, and that was another thing that did drop in around this. It's actually been something that I've been looking at recently that's really applicable in the work I do, is so often people are disillusioned by the, you know, the transformation doesn't happen overnight. Mm-hmm. We are sold that quick fix. And how many times I've been hit with this ego lie around, if I just do practice right, then I won't struggle. And boy, am I humbled very quickly, because struggle, well, pain is, you know, the Four Noble Truths, like, you know, pain, suffering is part of life. I just am grateful and that I'm blessed to have a practice to assist me in that, you know, quote, truth that just is.
Exactly. So, and, you know, that last conversation, the first conversation tonight with the Sherry and the first caller, exactly that unbelievable place of inspiration of, we're willing to practice with whatever comes through. Right. Not letting it be, I can't believe you're still practicing with that, or it's this hard, or, but that word that you used, you know, humbled by it, the humility of that, to just stay with it, and the gift that it feels like that is to, you know, to all, to be willing to stay with it in that way and to just keep practicing with all of it.
Yeah. I can't remember the language, I'm sure you will, because I can remember over the years the different metaphors and the different kind of focuses of the year, you know, that practice would focus. But there was a year where practice was talking about the sheaths or the veils or the, you know, what, I can't remember how it was discussed, but like, I feel like in some ways I'm dealing with harder, I mean, it's not sunshine and rainbows, right? And it hasn't been for like a bit. And that doesn't mean there isn't more. I've had just such significant breakthroughs and transformations around breaking through karmic patterns, which is not about you know, the fluff of, you know, that toxic positivity that goes around that doesn't, it doesn't allow you to sit with what is, which is why the plugging in is so important, because, you know, what does the Buddha talk about? We can't do it alone.
Yeah.
And I couldn't have gotten through any of that alone. And I don't know how this will come across, but there's just something around this practice that I've never met a group of people who, which it's all, you know, back to the privileged environment, that holds the integrity of the practice, which is what protects the heart, so that I get to experience the integrity of each person, because the structure protects us from egos all around.
Yes. Yes, exactly. And ultimately, what we get to see is that mirrored back for ourselves.
Yeah.
You know, it's that place of, wow, okay, so I'm probably not the exception in all of Sangha.
Which so is that other beautiful... Sorry, go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
You just said that beautiful thing of when everyone shows up and talks about their process,
exactly.
You know, when I'm, you know, in that vulnerable place, it's absolutely helping me, and I'm trusting it's helpful to other people, because I know when other people are sharing their vulnerable, right, struggle, it's helping me. And it's just, you know, the beauty of all of it, again, with staying plugged in. If I'm not plugged in, I don't get the benefit of that.
Yeah, absolutely. And how often is it, especially when we're in the hardest places, that we listen to radio shows, you know, we listen back to archives, and at least my experience, it's already happened tonight. Someone says something that's like, yep, that was definitely
always
for me. That was exactly the thing I needed to hear.
If I'm here, I always have that experience.
Yeah. And you know what's so amazing is, and if I'm not having that experience, instead of going into a conversation about, well, then I must not be here and I'm not practicing right, the answer is to stay plugged in, because it will happen.
Again, absolutely. Yeah.
Right? I don't have to try to get here.
Nope.
If I stay plugged in, I will arrive here. It's just
cue practice.
Cue practice, exactly.
You know, the synonym from it. If just, you know, hitting the button, and regardless of where I'm at, and that place around, I feel like there's so many kind of threads with staying plugged in, because if I stay plugged in, even if sometimes that means the cord is 100 feet long, you know,
it's a great image. Yeah.
Then it's that I'm still plugged in, you know, whatever link that is for any human is that trusting the process of, let's see, how do I say this, is there was a period of time where I used to always go to this place. It's like, I'm so afraid I'm going to do something wrong that, you know, practice is going to kick me out. And like, I see that now as this, like, you know, I don't think I can articulate it well, but there's more of this projection of, like, I think maybe a fear that I would leave, you know, and it's like I project that onto, you know, practice of, you're going to do something to kick me out, versus, you know, I might not stick this out. And what that I just saw right now, like, that I'm not afraid of that anymore.
Wow. Boy, I mean, talk about a gift of staying plugged in
over
the long haul. Yeah. Amazing. Yeah. Well, Laura, thank you so much for being with
us
this afternoon. What a really fun, beautiful topic.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. That was fun.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.
And Bob, we'll turn it back over to you and Sherry.
Thank you, Jen, and thank you, Laura. And sure, I really enjoyed that conversation. the image that dropped in, one of the images that dropped in for me as they were talking is, you know, staying plugged into practice in all the ways that we can is, you know, is the, for me, like the same as like sitting in front of the white wall. You know, it's like, I just keep showing up over and over again. And if I'm willing to do that, what needs to be revealed to me in any moment will come.
Yes. Oh, that's really a brilliant comparison, or whatever the word would be. Yeah. Yes, that's exactly what it's like. And the trust that grows you know, as Laura was saying, as we look back over where we were and to see where what has happened to us, how we've been transformed simply by staying with it and facing. And that brings up the courage, right? The courage to face all of what ego is doing to try to get us to quit.
Right.
And we just keep showing up. So it is just like sitting there on that cushion when everything is screaming, don't do this. Get up. Even the lawn. Do the dishes. Anything other than sitting here. And we just keep sitting here.
Yeah.
And the magic happens.
Yeah, the magic happens. And for me, what I get, I think part of that magic is that I get to see that everything, all that inertia, you know, that is being forced by conditioning, don't do it, don't do it, don't do it, right? That I get on the other side of it, it's like, why not do it? There was nothing in the actual experience that actually justified all that energy that was being used to keep me from doing it.
Unless we consider, oh, I feel better. I'm stronger. I feel happier. I'm less inclined to believe that. So then we get a sense of, oh, that might be what it was about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great.
Oh, so good.
All right, Sherry, I'm going to bring on our next caller here.
All right. Thank you.
All right. Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Tom from San Jose.
Hey, Tom.
Hey. I've been looking at my sitting practice lately and feeling like, oh, it's so much easier when I'm on retreat, and when I'm home, it's so much harder.
Mm-hmm. Now, what have you noticed about that, Tom?
Well, there's just so, you know, amazing that the topic has been privileged environment in some form, because the privileged environment is one of the huge things that supports that for me.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so at home, it's a completely different experience of a different kind of environment. And with sitting meditation being much more difficult, I guess that's one way that it's said to me. But it's also very effective as well at home in a special way.
Uh-huh. The sitting or the voice that's trying to talk you out of it? What's more effective?
Oh, well, the sitting is, because I'm still doing it.
Uh-huh. Right. Yeah. You know, what I was seeing as you were describing that is, and you don't know, so I'm going to tell you, is that it feels to me like so often the missing piece, or the part that doesn't come into the front of conscious compassionate awareness, is with everything that's going on in life, this is your one time to really be with him, for him to get all of your attention. He's the only thing actually that matters for this 10 minutes or 20 minutes or 30 minutes or whatever it is. Out of the busy day and all the pulls on the attention and all of his obligations, he has to show up for all of these people and all of this stuff. But for this period of time, it's all for him. All the attention, all the awareness is just for him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's that way on retreat, but it's that way in my normal life as well. And I guess the experience of sitting meditation that I get on retreat powers my persistence in it when I'm at home.
Yes.
To provide that environment for him.
Yes. And I'm hoping, of course, with this conversation, that what happens is the importance of that is made clearer. You know, on retreat, the whole thing is for him, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's all set up. He's got his own little room and his own little bathroom, and he goes and people have cooked food for him, and he can walk around in beautiful places and do workshops and all of this. And there just isn't that kind of time and space and attention for him in the rest of life. So it becomes more
even more essential.
Uh-huh.
Not necessarily for you, in quotes, but for him.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
I can see that. That's very, very helpful. And it comes, I guess it echoes with the topic of the year long this week about desire, you know, and it's like a desire of letting him have what he wants.
Yes. Yes. And I also think, Tom, to really, for us to grasp, for me, for you, that relationship is what sustains you through all of the trials and tribulations and challenges of regular life.
Mm-hmm.
That's the connection to your heart.
Yeah.
Does that hang together? Yeah.
It does. It absolutely does. Because, you know, sitting meditation has been an on-off thing for me for a while, but I've been consistent with it since May of this year. And my life is not what it was before May. It's a different, more present life.
Yes. Yes. And we can see that, you know, people talk about you go on retreat, you're all fired up and inspired, and then whatever period of time later, that's all gone.
Mm-hmm.
Well, the reason it's all gone, of course, is because we're not, it's like the image that was used earlier of the cord, right? For a while, the cord is really, I mean, it's immediate. We are plugged in. And then the cord gets stretched and stretched and stretched, and pretty soon it gets unplugged, right?
Mm-hmm.
And that source of power and energy is no longer available to us. But when we come back to it on a daily basis, then we stay connected and we stay fueled.
Yes. And I, being an engineer, I have the image of a flywheel that, yes, it's hard to get it up and turning the way that you want it to. But once it's up and turning that way, it just takes some little touches to keep it going,
exactly.
And providing the energy that you need.
Exactly. That's a beautiful image for it. Yeah, and that's exactly what it feels like, right? I mean, once we get past the resistance, and we can see what the resistance is, right? Because ego doesn't want that flywheel turning.
Mm-hmm.
It wants it to come to a halt and be history.
Mm-hmm.
And so to realize, okay, well, this is my part of being able to have all of that power, all of that energy, all of that goodness and kindness and compassion and sweetness for this human being, right? And him sitting there is how all of that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Giving him the time, because that's what you're doing. You're giving him the ability to flick that flywheel.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see the sitting as being with him and for him at the
yes.
same time.
And for you.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because without all of that going on, where would you be?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, he's the connection. The one who wants to sit. He's the source of the power. And so giving mm-hmm. him that support, being with him, and supporting him in supporting you makes all the difference.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And I tend to do my sittings in the morning with the virtual meditation group. And before that, I take my shower. And I'll tell you, the voices are so loud in the shower because they know what's coming next.
Right. Don't do it. Don't do it. Don't do it, Tom. Don't do it. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah,
and you know,
I've been looking for some more techniques to kind of shape that experience in the shower to kind of get that energy away from all of those places that the ego will take it and
mm-hmm.
take and keep it for me.
Yeah. And what just dropped in when you were describing that is for you to start a conversation along the lines of, So what is it that's so, why are you so threatened? What's so bad about sitting down and sitting still? Because I really enjoy it. I like it. It really sets up. And then just talk about all of the things that you know that awareness practice is doing for your life. And I suspect they will not want to engage in the conversation with you.
That sounds very, very good. Excellent use of that energy.
Yes, and another thing that you just might consider, even though the voices will just scream bloody murder, is that before you go to sleep, and you this can be your lying down meditation time, okay? The rest of the time we sit up, but before you go to sleep, to go back to that place that you get to in sitting meditation. It doesn't have to be a deep place in practice, you know, but just acknowledging what that presence does for you in your life. Like just a little short meditation on all of the benefits that you derive from a sitting practice. Just to remind yourself and to set the stage for the morning when you're going to engage in that again.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of a little gratitude, you know, a gratitude to the human being who mm-hmm. is providing that, who's willing for that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, and boy, I'll tell you, my experience of gratitude has changed dramatically since we've recently discussed, I think it was in the year long, and the idea was, if you just make a gratitude list, you're not changing your experience. But if you go to an experience of gratitude, everything has changed. And that's made a huge difference for me.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yep, that's an Ashwini specialty.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that clarity, that difference. Yeah, a list, that's like a to-do list or a shopping list. But actually going to the experience, woo, that's freedom.
Yeah.
That's love. That's joy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And I want all that.
We do. That is a perfectly legitimate and excellent thing to desire.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah. All right. Thank you, Tom.
Thank you. Gassho.
Gassho.
Thank you, Tom. And Sherry, I'm going to bring on the next caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, this is Greta.
Hey, Greta.
Hi. I'm doing cue practice out in my garden.
Very good.
And yes, it's lovely, kind of looking at the change in the seasons happening really fast.
Too fast for my taste, but yes.
Yes. I'm glad for the cooler temperatures, but the long shadows kind of make it so that things are not going to grow so much much longer.
Yeah, yeah. Yep. And I just console myself that everything needs to rest.
Yep, and, me too.
Yep.
Yeah, there's part of me that's looking forward to it starting to rain for all those reasons to just do something different, even though I love this with all my heart. It's just, okay, well, take a break.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And even if it's not for us, all the rest of nature seems desperately to need it, I project. So, okay, I'm willing.
Yeah.
I don't have to be excited, but I can be willing.
I can be willing. And, of course, that's why I put myself in the queue. But also the previous discussion about gratitude was something that I've really started to insert into a conditioned process. And when conditioning really wants to take me off into a story every other minute, I'm just coming back to being grateful for seeing it, and reminding myself that I'm so grateful for this opportunity to have, you know, these spaces and places in my life that I don't know why I would want to be any other way.
Yes. Yes. Well, and it kind of comes down to if we were going to bring it to a single, I'm so glad to be alive.
Yeah, right.
Right? I mean, you know, and I don't know about you, but it seems like for us conditioned human beings, it's so easy to forget that. You know, that the given is I'm alive. Okay, now what? Now what are you going to give me?
Sure.
Yeah, so now I want this and this and this and this and this, and I should have it, and it's not an unreasonable expectation. And so if framing it that way, I realize, yeah, it is. Actually, it is an unreasonable expectation because there's no reason I should even be alive, let alone that I should assume that all of these other things are mine to claim. And so just to stop right there and say, yeah, gosh, I'm here. And so that's plenty. Now everything else is icing.
Yes, yes. And so a recent experience just fills me with gratitude for the training from practice or of practice, because I started to just a few hours a week volunteer at the school garden. And it's a great project, but I said, and I'm okay if I don't work with the kids. I just want to work with the plants.
Mm-hmm.
The part that I so appreciate is they do things differently than I do. And I just go to, well, monastery kitchen or the monastery garden. It's like, just do it the way they do it. Do what you're shown. Do it as they do. And just see. I don't know. Maybe that's another better, I don't know. So let's just see.
Yes, yes, yes. And even if it's not, okay, well, I can let go. At least I have I have the opportunity to practice letting go and just being here and being with whatever. I doesn't have to be my first choice.
Yeah, exactly. And you're just watching the our conditioning process just, you know, rise up in, I know how to do it right. And then it's like, yeah, I see you. I see you.
I see you. And I can see that your real motivation is not, it doesn't really have anything to do with right. It has to do with causing as much suffering as possible and having me miss the glorious opportunity to participate in this way.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm just reminding myself every day that I have this extra space in my life right now, which I didn't anticipate having, and I can just enjoy the part of me when I see it that's grateful and not acting out of conditioned mind, and having that opportunity to just kind of expand awareness in that way.
Yes, yeah, because every second is a workshop, isn't it?
Yes, and it's all for me.
And it's all for me, actually, Greta.
Yes.
Okay. All right, yours is all for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know, that's back to that I'm grateful to be alive. To have that awareness that this is everything, every bit of it, good, bad, and indifferent, is for me. I like it. I don't like it. I struggle with it. I'm joyously happy with it. It's all for me. That's extraordinary.
It is. It is. And in a way that I'm not the center of the universe, but I'm expanding to be part of all of it.
Yes. Or we could say, I am the center of the universe, and so are you, and so is she, and so is he, and so is that, and so is it. And
yeah.
So, yeah? Yeah.
Yeah.
Each and everything, the tiniest little insect, the center of the universe.
Yeah. Yeah. Yep. Yeah, we touch into all of it so simply, and I think that's a huge source of the gratitude, because it's right there. It's right there in the next breath or next moment or next insect or next whatever.
Right. coming to us.
Coming to us.
Be received in joy.
Yeah.
Beautiful.
Well, I am grateful to talk with you this evening. I hope you're feeling better.
Very much so. I'm celebrating my month anniversary, and
getting a lot of good information from people who are in charge of all of those kinds of things. And so I too am very, very grateful, very happy and very grateful.
Okay, well, I all hope right. that continues in that direction and look forward to the next opportunity.
Me too. Thank you. Thank you, Greta.
Thank you. Thank you.
Good night.
Go happy.
Go happy.
Thank you, Greta. And Sherry, I believe we have time for one more caller here.
All right.
Next caller, you're now live on the air. Will you please introduce yourself?
Hi, it's Emily from Seattle.
Hey, Emily.
Hi. Well, I called in. I was suffering a lot, and not even because my wife died last week, but because of what ego has been doing to me, torturing me in these ways, these dumb ways that is just incessant and ongoing. And I'm frankly really overwhelmed by it. And I just was like feeling so helpless, like I could not stop it.
Couldn't get your head above water.
Yeah. And so I was going to say, I was like very cheered up by the call and also by how I got in the queue and got around conditioning, like trying to talk me out of it the way it always does.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, I'm so tired at this time of day, and it's such better self-care just to relax and take a little nap. But, you know, it's not telling me to do that other times of the day.
Right, only when you could be with Sangha. Then it's a good time
this
to take a nap.
This hour is like, okay.
This hour would be the time to take a break. Well, and of course, it's really helpful to see that, isn't it? And your original statement is that it's not the circumstances of your life. It's not that your wife just died. It's what ego is doing. Without that, there would just be sadness. There would be missing her. There would be all of those kinds of things. But ego is not going to allow that to happen. It is going to take it to everything that's wrong, everything you've done wrong, everything that's wrong with life. That conversation is the source of suffering. It's so important to realize that.
Yeah. It's so much, you know, the social interactions is a lot right now, and just the, you know, all the things accompanying this circumstance.
Yes.
And so it's using that, like, I'm not an extrovert, and I'm stressed. Like, it causes a little bit of stress, like all this input, and just taking that, and it's using that to cause the suffering.
Yes, because what would be possible is, well, you know, you have never been excited about this level of being the center of attention and having all these people around and all of this stuff that you need to attend to and show up for, and you're an introvert. That's never been your life choice. And so, perfect opportunity to come in and just really make this a problem.
Yeah.
Really cause the suffering over it.
Yeah, I mean, it's really shining a light on this karma. It's like, you know, magnifying it, like, and it being hard to receive that. I mean, that's a whole other thing, like receiving this goodness from other people is just turning into, well, I mean, like it, yeah, like ego is turning it into just suffering. Like, oh no, now what
it's
do
a
I
big
do?
Problem.
I have to, you know, say thank you in the right way. I have to compose this text perfectly. Like, I'm taking care of other people.
Yes.
I'm doing it wrong, of Of course, I'm doing it wrong.
Of course you are. Well, Emily, you've always done everything wrong. Why should you do this right? Right?
Yeah. It's just like, you know, like I said, it's magnifying because there's so many different situations.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to get relief from it.
Yes. Well, years ago, I said something to somebody about, you know, being inspired. And the response was, well, you know, I mean, what? I can't just go from inspiration to inspiration, live my life just going from inspiration to inspiration. And I said, why not? Of course you can. It's a perfectly valid way to live. And at this time, being immersed in practice is a perfectly valid approach, right? So to make sure that your attention is always on something that inspires you, something that reminds you of what is true, something that interrupts that conversation. Even if, you know, you're listening, say you're listening to a repeat of the morning retreat, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the voice is just hammering at you, just trying to, it doesn't matter. You know, you listen to the retreat, listen to what Sangha is saying, and and then you get pulled into a conversation that ego wants you to listen to, and then you come back, it's fine, but there's something that's breaking that up, something that's constantly there as a backdrop of support for you. And ego will fight it worse than fighting you being here this evening. Right? It's just going to, because it, as we know, it doesn't want you to be separated from it and its negativity.
Okay, like for having this show or playing or connecting with something beautiful or playing music is
constantly.
Really good help. And
yes, constantly.
Kind of
never be without whatever it is that feels supportive to you. You know, go for a walk outside. Be in the changing seasons. You know, see what the birds are doing at this time of year. You know, watch what the trees are doing at this time. Listen to the music. Listen to Sangha. Listen to anything that helps you be here. But the main thing is interrupts that horrible conversation from ego.
Okay.
Give yourself permission to escape. It's fine.
Escape.
Now's the time.
Okay.
Now's the time.
Okay. Yeah, I'll do that. Thank you.
Good. And stay in touch. Stay close.
Yeah.
Reach out. Let us know. Let us know if you need something.
Okay.
It's the time.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you, Emily.
Gosho.
Thank you, Emily and Sharon. A number of things I'd like to say about that, but I see we are over time, so I think I'll just keep it to myself for now.
we'll talk about it later. How about that, Bob?
We will, exactly.
All right. Good. Thank you so much.
All right. Thank you, Sherry.
All right. Go happy.
Go happy.